This is the Mason World Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, episode 58. You can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you're building your business one night at a time.
You're listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. Building internet businesses one night at a time. And now, here's your host, Mark Mason.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? It's Mark Mason. You may remember me. I used to have a podcast on internet marketing. Okay. I'm back. A lot of people have been saying, hey, Mark, where have you been? And of course, the answer is, I've been in an undisclosed location with Dick Cheney. If you're old enough to understand that reference, then you're probably too old to be listening to this podcast. Anyway, it's really great to be back. Thanks to everybody who came looking for me. I really appreciate it. I got some nice messages on Facebook and other places saying, hey, where's the podcast? I appreciate that. I got some testy messages. Chris, you know who you are. No, I'm just kidding. No, I really appreciate those messages. They encourage me. They're the reason I do the podcast. I mean, I say this all the time. There's no show without you guys. And so for those of you that came looking for me, I really appreciate that. Lots of stuff going on outside of late night internet marketing. Some of you know from following me on Facebook, there's been a lot of big changes in my day job over the last 6 months. I think I finally have a lot of that wrestled to the ground. I'm still working in the semiconductor industry for the same company, but my job responsibility has changed massively. I'm doing something completely different, something that I've never done before. It's technically very challenging. And literally, it was the kind of job where on day one, you don't even know what all the words mean. In fact, you don't know what most of the words mean. And when someone says something, you ask a question and you've got to ask two more questions to understand the answer. So that's sort of what I've been working on and dealing with in that regard. And that's a good thing. It's opened up a lot of new areas for me to grow my career, but I find it very challenging. And so that's been distracting me. Also, it's summertime and you know how that goes. Kids are out of school. We've been spending time going to the pool and going on vacations. And in fact, doing some traveling with work. And so it's just been a little crazy. I'm on the road right now recording on my Adderall mobile voice recorder. So, that's what's going on right now. And, I think I've done a lot of thinking about where the show's going to go from here, and I'm ready to make a bold prediction that may make some of you happy. This long break of 6 weeks or however long it's been since the last show will probably be my last big break in content for a long time, maybe ever, because I've made some decisions about where I'm going to go with late night internet marketing and the show. And we're going big. We're going big or we're going home. I was thinking about this over the last couple of days. I've been dealing with another server attack, a second one. This one out of Russia. The last one was out of China. The Chinese syndicate or whoever, or some 13-year-old with a script. I'm not sure. And then this last attack was Russian botnet. A hard attack directly at WordPress. This wasn't really a traditional denial of service attack. From what we can tell, it was somebody attacking my websites, all of them. Not all of them, but 30 or 40 of them, many of which were on the same server as Late Night Internet Marketing and just took the server down. They were basically hacking the WordPress login. And of course, I have things in place to keep them from being successful, but that doesn't stop the traffic. And so once the traffic overwhelms the server, you're just basically hosed. So if you notice that the site was down or for a while even it was serving up blank pages, that's the deal on that. I think I've got that fixed, and I'm making some moves to isolate the Late Night Internet Marketing podcast and website server on its own server with some additional protection above and beyond. And for those technical people among us, I'm also taking the plunge to switch to a server that is running instead of Apache and eAccelerator or one of those traditional PHP accelerators. I'm going to give Varnish and Nginx a try. So if you've got experience with Nginx, I'd love to hear about it in the show notes over at latenightinternetmarketing.com/058. Let me know what you think about that. As far as my big plans for internet marketing, I'm really starting to form up this vision about how late night internet marketing should be the ultimate resource on the internet for people who are doing ethical content-based affiliate marketing. So if you're really trying to build websites that help people and make the internet a better place, and you want to learn how to do that profitably, I want my website to be the go-to place on the internet for that over time. Now, that's going to take some time. There's a lot of noise out there on this topic, a lot of people working on it, including me. And so, you know, it might take a year or two or who knows, but that's the direction. And to support that and to make that happen, I want to have the best internet marketing podcast on the internet. Now, what does best mean? To me, it means most loved, most engaged, best audience. I don't really care if it's 100,000 people. I would rather have 10,000 people who I really liked and who were really into the show and really cared whether or not I put the show out every week than 100,000 people who could care less. And I, you know, this is something that I've learned from Cliff Ravenscraft over the years. It's really very much more important to have 100 good fans than it is to have 10,000 Fairweather fans. And so that's the way I want to drive this. And the other thing that supports this is I want to have the most valuable autoresponder in the internet marketing space. I want people to just count down the hours until the next email message comes from me. And the way I'm going to do that is to just really load up the autoresponder with some awesome content, and I'm almost ready to launch. It's going to start with a 5-day e-course. So if you haven't signed up for the autoresponder over at latenightinternetmarketing.com/list, go on over there to latenightinternetmarketing.com/list and sign up, and you will be getting the very first look at this whole new series of content. And basically the idea is, you will get an email in your inbox once a week from me for the rest of your life, and every email will just be chock full of really good stuff that you can use for your business. And that's going to be the point of that autoresponder. And, you know, the final part of making late night internet marketing awesome is, of course, leading by example. And I'm going to try and get more sites like the Corn Sheller site up and running, and exposed to you so that you can see what's going on and see how these things work. And I, you know, what that's going to mean is really for me finishing my commitment to get 20 Forever affiliate sites up and running and getting those out to you and making sure that you know what's going on. And that's a place where I haven't made a lot of progress. We're going to talk more about the status of my Forever Affiliate project in a future episode. It's still my intention to have 20 sites, Forever Affiliate sites, up and running by the end of the year, but I can tell you I'm way behind my initial goal at this point in the year, which is more than halfway done. So I've got a lot of work to do. As of, you know, in this process of deciding what to do next, I have a new methodology for managing my time, and it's looking really, really fantastic. And I think once I get this integrated in, you know, I've successfully run a part-time internet business since 2007, and a lot of people ask me, I get this question all the time, how do you find time to do that? You've got a family, 4 kids, a dog named Sport. How do you get all that done with a day job? And there are answers for this. There's a real strategy that I use, and I'm putting the finishing touches on that. And that may come out as an entire product, maybe as a very affordable course. I'm not sure how I'm going to do that. But if you've got some feedback on that, I'd love to hear what you think in the show notes over at latenightinternetmarketing.com/058. Would you be interested in such a course that talked about all the life hacks and tricks and strategies that I use manage my time and a full-time job and a family all at the same time. Well, that's about it. I recommend that you head on over to latenightinternetmarketing.com and sign up for the autoresponder. That's going to go live probably this week, and I'll talk to you about that some more next week. One of the things that I wanted to do this week was talk a little bit about some stuff in the news. I want to try and do that every week. And the big thing in the news, of course, this month, and people have been talking about it a lot over the last week or two, has been the closure of Google Reader. Now, this is important for internet marketers because we use Google Reader, of course, as marketers to track what's going on in our niches. Or you should be using a tool like Google Reader and subscribe to the top content in your area that you're marketing in so you can stay up on what's going on. In fact, that's one of the things that I do for this show. I have a list of blogs that I monitor so that if something happens that's important, we can talk about it. And so it doesn't get by me and I don't get surprised. You use a feed reader for that because it aggregates that content and you don't have to go visiting blog by blog by blog to see these things. But the problem is RSS, in my view, is kind of on the decline. Google has sort of decided that it's not interested. I think what they decided was they weren't able to monetize RSS in a way that made it worth maintaining the tool. And so they've decided to close FeedReader down. It closed earlier this month. So the question is, what do you do? If you need a feed reader, what do you use? And my answer is Feedly. So if you haven't checked out Feedly, you can go Google Feedly. You can go find that. That's what I'm using. I'm really enjoying that tool. I think that's the best alternative out there right now, for me at least. But I'd be very curious to hear what you're using. So I invite you to come to the show notes at latenightinternetmarketing.com/058 and tell me what you think the best alternative is for RSS feeds. I'd also encourage you to subscribe to the Late Night Internet Marketing feed. If you're testing out a new feed reader, I'd love to hear what you think about the feed and what I can do to make the feed better for you. I serve up a full feed. You can read everything that you need to read off the blog in that feed. And so I welcome you to come try that and check it out and try Feedly and tell me what you think. I think it's a pretty good tool. The other thing that was in the news, of course, this is not internet marketing related, but boy, this was a little close to home for me, was this Asiana flight that crashed into the runway at SFO. And it gave me chills a little bit watching this airplane, this video of this airplane. If you haven't seen this, a bystander happened to be recording landing aircraft with their camera phone when this flight came in. The flight came in too low at San Francisco Airport, SFO, and it hit the runway. In fact, it hit, when you fly into SFO, the end of the runway starts at the water. There's actually a seawall there. And if you are in the aircraft, as I have been many, many times coming in from Asia, and you've never flown into that airport before, the very first time that you do that, it looks like you are going in the water. I mean, you're looking out the side of the aircraft, so you can't see in front of you. You can't see that there's a runway if you're sitting, you know, in a passenger seat in the aircraft, and you're descending into the water is what it looks like. And it's a bizarre feeling. And you land there, and I have landed there, I don't know if it's hundreds, it's not thousands of times, it could be 100 times coming in from Asia. And, you know, I just felt for those people. It was a terrible tragedy, and I hope they figure out exactly what happened there and make it so that that never happens again. But you know, anyway, I thought I'd mention that and let you know that that's a very interesting experience landing at that airport, and I feel for those folks. Okay, so that gets us to the main segment, and that is the follow-on part to episode 57, where we started talking about keyword research, and we're trying to figure out, hey, you know, how do we do this keyword research? And what we talked about, we kind of broke this down into parts, and in part one, we talked about how do we find keywords that we might want to attack. And in part two, we are talking about how to decide whether or not the competition for those keywords is such that we can actually hope to win them. Because there are some keywords that you could choose to go after, like home mortgage, that, you know, you're not going to win that one without an enormous budget. So since it's been a few weeks, or more than a few weeks, creeping up on 2 months since that last episode, let's go in the Wayback Machine and remember exactly what it is that we said at the end of that episode. So just to recap, we've determined what we want to do, and we've identified a brainstorming list of keywords, and from those keywords, we've found keywords that have a high enough search volume, at least taken together, that it's interesting for what we want to do, because we know that we can convert 1,000 searchers into $100 or whatever, and based on what it is that we're trying to accomplish, whether this is our first affiliate site or we're going to take over the world with our 500th one, we've kind of got this feeling about what it is that we're trying to do, and we feel like we've got a list of keywords with search volume that's high enough to do that. The question is, can we rank for them? And that's the next step. Okay, so that leaves us with this next piece, which is, how do we decide what it is that, what the level of competition is, and whether or not we have a chance of winning these keywords? How do we make that decision? And I guess the first thing I would say is, maybe what we need to talk about first is how not to make the decision. Because one of the things you want to not do is mess up and make the decision based on wrong data. And to be honest with you, I have a very specific feeling about this. Just to remind you, the only people who actually know how the Google keyword algorithm works is Google. But I have some very specific ideas about the way you should think about this, and they're different than some other people's ideas. And I love to debate these things, so bring it on. If you've got some other thinking about the way this ought to be done, let me hear from you. But one thing that I see a lot of people talking about, and this is, you know, usually a red flag to me that someone's talking about SEO that hasn't worked on it a lot or doesn't know a lot about it, is they'll talk about the number of competing pages. They'll say, okay, you can win this keyword because only 10,000 people are showing up in the Google search for that phrase. And I understand what they mean. And what they mean is that since there aren't a lot of web pages built, that must mean that if you build a web page, that you can compete more easily than if there were 10 times as many or 100 times as many pages built. And that simply makes absolutely no sense. I will tell you that the best analogy I can think of that it describes why that makes no sense is, that's like saying that your chances of winning the Boston Marathon have something to do with the number of people in the race. That if the fastest guy in the world is running the Boston Marathon and there's only 100 other people, that you have a good chance of winning, as opposed to the fastest guy in the world and 10,000 other people. That makes absolutely no sense. Your ability to beat the fastest guy in the world in the Boston Marathon has absolutely nothing to do with how many other racers there are. Now, I think it is true, just to give a little credibility to these people that talk about this stuff, maybe it is true that there's some additional chance that the fastest guy in the world's going to be racing the more racers there are. But if you think about it, that's not true. The fastest guy in the world is targeting that because he's decided he wants to run the Boston Marathon. And the truth of the matter is, if someone who knows about SEO has targeted your niche, they've done that because they decided to, and that has nothing to do with how many competing pages there are. Furthermore, if you run the Boston Marathon and your goal is to place in the Boston Marathon, it doesn't matter whether or not you finish 17th. All that matters is whether or not you finish first, second, or third, because you've decided that's your goal. Well, as we've discussed many times, for Google, your goal is to finish in the top 10. It does not matter very much if you finish 11th. You need to be on the first page. And in fact, you need to be above the page fold, which really means the only five competitors in Google that really matter are the top five that you need to beat. And so the question you need to be asking is, at a minimum, are there people on page one that I can beat? Or are there people in the top five, preferably, that I can beat? Who's on page 17? That just doesn't matter. And so the number of competing pages is, in my view, is just completely irrelevant. The other thing that I hear occasionally is people arguing that the advertiser competition, as reported by the Google AdWords tool, has something to do with how hard or easy it's going to be to rank for keywords. And I've even heard people who I respect a lot say this. But the truth of the matter is, I've done studies where I looked at the top 10 or 20 or 30 websites ranking for keywords, and I did a plot, what an engineer would call a regression, of the rank of those websites versus their advertiser competition. And the truth of the matter is, the data is very clear. It's not correlated. Advertiser competition, the data that I've run myself, just shows that that's not a very good predictor of how websites rank. And therefore, I believe it's not a very good predictor of how easy it will be for you to rank, with the following exception. And sometimes I think this is what people are really talking about when they talk about this topic, is that if the advertiser competition is very low, that means that Google AdWords advertisers have decided, for whatever reason, not to buy ads in that space. And usually, not always, but usually, the reason that they've made that decision is because there's not a lot of money to be made there. And if there's not a lot of money to be made in a niche, oftentimes that means that people who are in the business of making money on the internet will not have spent time trying to rank for keywords in that space. And that can mean that it might be easy for you to rank in that space, because in the absence of a lot of money to be made, it follows that there's not going to be a lot of people paying attention to those keywords. Of course, you have to ask the question. You have to go back to episode 57 and make sure that you know why you want to rank for that space if there's not a lot of money to be made there. Now, there are reasons you might want to do that, but the truth of the matter is, advertiser competition is not a really good first order predictor of keyword difficulty. It can be an indication that the keyword's not worth going after in the first place. And if that's the case, then a lot of times the competition will be low and the keyword will be easy to rank for. So those are some things that I would stay away from as far as judging keyword competition. The last thing I guess I would mention to you is, a lot of times you'll hear people say, well, let's not look at the number of competing pages, but let's look at the number of in-title URLs where the keyword actually appears in the title of the page or in the URL of the page. And that's usually an indication of the fact that someone is directly targeting the keyword. And they'll come back and they'll say, look, if there's only 10,000 or 2,000 pages with the keywords in the URL, that's not many. We should be able to easily rank. But if there's 100,000, it's going to be hard. And again, I go back to this. This is just a variation of this Boston Marathon thing. Just because the keyword is in the title of a page doesn't mean that someone has done a very good job of optimizing their SEO. And the reverse is also true. Just because there aren't many doesn't mean there aren't 10 fantastic ones that are just completely impossible to beat. I mean, let's face it. If you're targeting a keyword and there's only five competing pages with your keywords in the URL, but the competing pages are CNN, WebMD, Wikipedia, and two other authority sites, you're done. So typically. So, you know, these are these Boston Marathon class of things, and you just need to basically ignore that. So with that behind us, I think the next thing we need to talk about when we talk about competition is what is deciding what shows up on page one of Google. Now, we've talked about this before, but it's really important to understand, because we're going to talk about the 80-20 rule when it comes to evaluating keyword competition and SEO. And for those of you that aren't familiar with that, it's this idea that 80% of the really important value in something can be contained in 20% of the details. I mean, if you get the big stuff right, the 20% that really matters, that's going to cover you for 80% of what you need to know about SEO. And I really believe this is especially true in SEO, because that other 80% of noise, the part that you need to ignore, is all the stuff that's changing every week. I mean, Google releases on average more than two algorithm updates per day in the course of a year, or some crazy thing like that. So the idea that you're going to go around and chase all that in your business is just nuts. I mean, just forget it. And the idea that you should be caught up in trying to figure all that out is also a huge waste of time, because you need to be running your business. So let's focus on the 20% of the list of things that give us 80% of the value. And you can get to that by understanding what Google's doing and how it works. Now, if you go back and look at the original papers from Stanford, from these guys who invented Google, Larry Page is the guy who PageRank is named after. They explain very clearly this idea that they consider links to a site to be essentially votes for that site. So if you're running site A and you have links from site B, C, and D linking to your site, that's three votes for your site. Your site must be important if three other sites are talking about it. And it's a very simple idea. It's an editorial content kind of thing, where you're operating under the assumption that people on the internet are writing good content, they're writing it for readers, and if these people who are writing good content with their readers in mind are sending their readers to other sites, those other sites must be important. If you are writing something for your reader and you send them to my site, it must be because I wrote a good article. And so Google takes note of that, and they judge your authority in the same way. They look at your authority as an author based on the number of people that are looking or linking to your site, and they value your vote for my site based on how important you are. So a vote from a website that just got started yesterday for my site is not worth a lot. A vote from CNN for my site is worth a lot more. It just makes a lot of sense. So this is a really interesting and clever idea. And Larry Page created this thing called PageRank, which is actually named after Larry and not after a web page. And a PageRank is a number between 1 and 10 that theoretically Google assigned to every page on the internet to help them compute this algorithm. And you can look up these papers. I'll try to put some links in the show notes, and there's some patents as well. The papers are a little bit dry and on the technical side, but they're very interesting, particularly if you have some kind of engineering or computing background. You should go look at these. They're kind of cool. So given that as the idea for PageRank, then it's very clear that for an 80-20 rule, the thing that we need to look at is the number of backlinks to our site. And so that gets us to the next topic that I want to talk about that's closely related, which is a very simple sort of 80-20 view of SEO. And the way it works is this. We've talked about this a little bit on the show before, too. And that is that there's sort of two things that matter when it comes to SEO. There's things that are happening on your page, and there are things that are happening off of your page, somewhere else on the internet. For on-page SEO, there's a very simple list of things that you need to do. You need to make sure that your keyword is in the article. It should be in the title of the article. It should be elsewhere in the content. And, of course, it should be well-written, excellent content, and so forth. So that's basically what you need to do on the page. Use the keyword strategically. Notice that I'm not talking about keyword stuffing. I'm not talking about use it 4% of the time. I'm just saying use the keyword. Make sure it's relevant. And then off the page, you need backlinks to your site. And oh, by the way, the other thing that's off the page that is helping Google decide what your site about is the words that people are using to link to your page. So sometimes someone might build a link to your page and says, click here. Or sometimes someone might link to your page using your keyword or your site name. It's those keywords that also help Google decide what your site is about. Because after all, Google has got two decisions to make when it comes to ranking your site. Number one, what is your page about? I mean, what is it about? Is it about blue suede shoes, or is it about pink suede shoes, or is it about My Little Pony? I mean, you know, you've got to decide, what's this page about? And sometimes your page might be about multiple things, and that's okay. Sometimes you can rank the same page for multiple different keywords. Fundamentally, however, Google's going to have to decide what your page is about. And then once they decide what it's about, they'll look at all the pages that are about the thing that someone just typed in, and they need to decide what the top 10 pages are. And those are the 10 pages they're going to display. And from an 80-20 rule point of view, they're going to do that by looking at the backlinks. Yes, they look at social media. And yes, they consider anchor text percentages. And yes, they look at the distribution of domains. And yes, all that stuff. But from an 80-20 point of view, the stuff that we actually know about, by the way, all that other stuff, no one really knows. No one really knows what Google's doing. So that's another point, is you can spend all your time worrying about this stuff that is unknowable, or you can just focus on the stuff we know, and that is that you need really good backlinks to your content. So it's really simple. Okay, nothing about SEO is really simple, but you know what I mean. It's relatively straightforward from an 80-20 rule point of view to decide what to do about evaluating competition. And this is sort of the punchline for this entire episode. And that is that you take a keyword that you're considering competing for, you look at the number of backlinks that each one of the competing pages, the first 10, or really, for reasons I'll discuss in a minute, the first five in Google, you look at those, look at the number of backlinks, and you ask yourself, knowing what I know, where I am with my ability to build backlinks on the internet, can I get that many backlinks to my site? Is that reasonable for me to do, given the amount of work that I want to do to rank this keyword and the budget that I have to go do it? Here's the thing. You can rank for any keyword on the internet if you have enough time and enough budget. You can rank for credit cards if you want to, but you better have a big war chest and some time to get there. And yes, there is a lot more to think about than just the raw number of links. And I think the primary one that you need to think about, besides the number of links, is the quality of those links. And I think the secondary one is the authority of the primary domain of the page. You see, Google ranks pages, not domains. Okay, they don't rank Wikipedia, they rank pages on Wikipedia. And they don't rank your site, they rank pages on your site versus keywords. But your authority for your root domain or the authority of the root domains you're competing with does influence the authority of the pages under that domain. It's not a first order thing. It's not that just because something's on Wikipedia, you can never beat it. In fact, you can beat even sites like Wikipedia. But Google already trusts Wikipedia. So do a bunch of people on the internet. There are a bunch of links to the root domain and elsewhere in Wikipedia. And so Google gives them a little extra leg up. And I'll tell you who right now they're giving a big leg up to, and that is YouTube, which you might argue is a little bit of a conflict of interest, but YouTube videos will beat pages from other domains that have more backlinks time and time again. In fact, I judge the factor to be about 3 to 1. If a YouTube video has 100 links, a lot of times it'll take 300 to beat it, assuming, you know, link quality is equal. And that's the other thing you've got to worry about. So just because you see someone has 4,200 links, that does not mean that there are 4,200 good links. And so even though the 80-20 rule is, hey, look, just look at the links, the link count, it's really not enough just to simply consider the link count. You really need to consider the link count and the quality of the links and the power of the root domain. So there it is. Because of this little bit of complexity, there's the number of the links that are pointing to your competition's webpage, but another factor that has to be considered is the quality of those links that are pointed to your competition's webpage. And then there's the authority of the root domain because of just those three things. It's a little hard just to get a count of the backlinks and make a decision based on that. Because of that, I recommend a couple of tools, three tools actually, that actually try and make an estimate of this stuff. Probably the most popular tool, the one that's the most famous, is Majestic SEO. Sometimes it helps to look at a concrete example. So let's consider for a moment the cornsheller.net site that we've talked about so many times on this podcast. It's a site that I built to check out the keyword canine tool. And it's currently, at least at the time of this writing, ranking number one for the keyword phrase corn shellers for sale. Now, if you look at this report for that site, depending on which database that you use that SEO, Majestic SEO has to offer, there's 350 to 400 links pointing back to that site. That's considerably more than any other site has that for that keyword. And that site ranks number one. Now, you can look further into the Majestic SEO tool and you can see those links aren't the strongest, greatest, most fantastic links on the internet, but they're links nonetheless, and they're enough to rank that site. And, you know, there's a margin between me and the other 10 sites or other 9 sites on the first page of Google. And to first order, that's why that site ranks. So I like the Majestic SEO tool for this purpose. And it will also give you a sense of the quality of the links. The other tool that I like is Ahrefs, A-H-R-E-F-S. That's a play on the fact that links in HTML code are built with a construction called an href. So that's where that comes from. And this tool will tell you a similar thing, that cornsheller.net has, they're actually reporting fewer links, around 350 at the time of this recording. And it also gives you an idea about the you know, kind of the quality of these links, and they're sort of okay but not great. And so you can use these two tools either by themselves or in conjunction to analyze each of the 10 websites that you might be competing with on the first page of Google. And you can make a decision about whether or not you want to try and rank for that keyword based on what Majestic SEO and Ahrefs are telling you about the number of links that you're going to have to go get. Again, there's other stuff that you have to that you may choose to worry about, but to first order, the link count is sort of the first criteria, the most important criteria that you need to consider when you're doing SEO research. And I think for especially for people that are starting out, when you're first starting a campaign, if you see a keyword that has hundreds of links, that's probably something that you can think about going after, a few hundred. If it has thousands of links, unless you have reason to believe that those links are all garbage, it's going to be a lot harder. And so that's just a real simple first order approach. Now, let me say something about the first 10. I think that by the time you get to the sixth position on the first page of Google, position number 6 through 10, you're generally, especially if there are any ads on the page below the page fold, the return on investment on those rankings is pretty low in general. Usually what you need to be able to do is get in the top 5 to really get people to click on your links. I mean, you will get some clicks down at 6 through 10, but just understand that really the question you need to be asking is, given the people that you see on the first page in the top 5 positions, are there one or two of those people that you think you could displace by building good links to your site? And if the answer is yes, then I think it's okay for you to go ahead and attack this keyword. Now, let me repeat what I said earlier. Given enough time and money, you can win any keyword you want. So if this is a really important keyword for you or for your customer, or if it's something that you just really feel passionate about and like, and that you want to win, maybe it's your name and you really want to rank for your name on the internet, then there's no amount of links that you can't go get given enough time and money. So I hope that helps you understand a little bit more about how to do keyword research. Basically, what we've said is you need to understand what the reason is, why you're going after the keywords, what's the purpose of the keywords. And based on that, you need to brainstorm the possible keywords that you might go after. And once you've got a great list of keywords, you want to go and look at those keywords and find the keywords that people are actually typing into Google. Once you've identified keywords that people are actually typing into Google that you'd like to rank for because you know people are there, then you need to judge their competition. And basically what I'm telling you is you can do a lot of fancy stuff, you can read a lot of articles on the internet, but right now, and it's been true since the 90s, the thing that matters first is the backlink profile for your competition. If the competing web pages that you're dealing with have tons and tons of backlinks, you're going to need tons and tons of backlinks. And if they don't have tons and tons of backlinks, in general, over the course of time, if you build quality links and you build more than they do, you'll win. There's lots of tricks you can use when you're doing that, including looking at where they're getting their backlinks from and seeing if you can get them from that place too. So there's lots of strategies for figuring out where to go get the links. That's probably a whole nother podcast episode all by itself, but this is the competition strategy. Identify the keywords, check the volume, check the competition, and the first thing you need to check with the competition, and really the only thing that I really check, is the backlink strength. Now, the way I do this, I don't actually use Majestic and Ahrefs all that much anymore. Keyword Canine reports the backlink profile to me, and I use that pretty much to screen keywords because it's so fast. I just put a keyword in, hit a button, and the backlink, you know, backlink information and other important information just pops up on the screen. So if you're interested in Keyword Canine, that's still the tool that I'm using. I played around with other tools, including Longtail Pro recently and Market Samurai. I almost never use anymore. I'm using Keyword Canine almost exclusively. And you can find that at latenightinternetmarketing.com/KC if you're interested in buying that through my affiliate link, which of course is not required, but very much appreciated. And the other thing I will say is I had a request from actually a ticket that came in from a listener who asked if what I thought about Micro Niche Finder. And, you know, I haven't messed with that in years. When I switched over to the Mac, I stopped using it because at that time, that was right around the time Market Samurai came out and it ran on the Mac. And I used to be in touch with the owner of that, James Jones, and, you know, I worked with him some on the development of that in the sense that I beta tested some of their releases and gave them feedback way back in, you know, years ago. So I've reached out to James, and I'm going to try and see what's going on with Micro Niche Finder. I used to really love that tool. That was my first ever keyword tool, but I haven't talked to James in a long time. So maybe we can even get him on the show. We'll have to see how that goes. That's what I have to say about keywords. If you are interested in talking some more about keyword research, if you don't agree with something that I said, if you've got more questions, I would love to talk about keywords with you. Please don't hesitate to leave me a comment in the show notes at latenightinternetmarketing.com/058. That's the show notes for this episode. Or, by all means, leave me some feedback on the voicemail feedback hotline at 214-444-8655. I'd love to hear from you there. Okay, that gets us down to the last thing for this episode, which I hope to make a regular feature, which is tool tips. So I use a lot of tools in my internet business, and people are always asking me about them. And one of the tools that I use to build this episode, that I've been doing this more and more lately, is a mind mapping application called iThoughts HD. It's for the iPad. I like it because it's real tactile. You know, you're building this mind map, but you're touching the screen and dragging things around. Works really well for me. And there's a lot of mind mapping tools out there, but one of the things that's really good about this one is the vast array of things that it will export to. So on the iPad, it will export to a ton of different things, a picture. It will export to Markdown and OPML, and it exports to Dropbox and a doc file. I mean, there's just HTML. There's all kinds of options for getting this mind map out. And that's great for my podcasting workflow because that means that I can actually export directly into the show notes. And so hopefully this new workflow that I'm using for the podcast as I crank this back up will also feature better show notes. So you'll have to let me know what you think about that. And that's my recommendation, iThoughts HD for the iPad, and there's also iThoughts for the iPhone, and I'll provide a link to those tools in the show notes. Hey, well, thanks very much for tuning in to episode 58 of the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. Really hoping to get things cranked up now that my little summer hiatus is over, and I'll be back in a few days with a fantastic but a little hectic and crazy interview with Dan Miller from 48days.net. Dan is one of my heroes. And, you know, I have a crazy equipment malfunction story to tell you about that next week. But until then, I hope you have an absolutely killer week. Take care. Well, by now you know as well as I do that the sound of that music means that it's time to bring yet another episode of the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast to a close. I hope you found something valuable inside this episode that you can apply in your own internet business. I really do believe that you can get everything you want in life by getting other people what they want. And I hope I got you a little something that you want in this episode. Let me know how your business is going. Stop by the Facebook fan page and just say hello. Now go make some progress on your internet business. If you do a little of that every day, after a while, you're going to love the results.
Thank you for listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. This show rocks because of listeners just like you. And we really hope you enjoy this episode. We want to hear from you. Stop by latenightim.com/feedback and leave a comment, ask a question, record a message, or leave a review on iTunes. Mark does his very best to respond to each and every listener personally. Just let us know how we can help. Until next week, and have an absolutely fantastic day.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes, you can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you're building your business one night at a time.
Little known fact, I actually recorded this entire episode when I was in Asia. I didn't like it, and I totally re-recorded it several months later, and I like it a lot better now. I hope you feel the same way. Let me know what you think. And I was really serious about the SEO thing. If you guys want to have a conversation about SEO, let's do it in the show notes over at latenightinternetmarketing.com/058. Have a fantastic day. I'm going to go eat some ice cream. Bye.
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing, actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me in 2007 when I was trying to get started. There were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet. And I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explain to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late Night Internet Marketing.